Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Matthew 10, verse 5, the Word of God says, "These 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, 'Do not go in the way of the Gentiles. Don't enter into any city of the Samaritans. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. Don't acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belts, or a bag for your journey, or even two coats or sandals, or a staff, for the worker is worthy of his support." Father, we love you. We love your word. We love your truth. We love freedom. We love who you are. We love salvation. We love being loved by you. We love the ability to worship you. We love the fact that you come near us. We love people. We love love. Thank you. Amen. Amen? Amen. And Father, we just trust that you bless the reading of your word. So if we look at this scripture, I really like this scripture because this scripture invites me into the impossible. I like doing the impossible. I like it because it doesn't make any sense. I like doing things that don't make any sense. I like living a life that can't be explained through natural means. Thank you, gentlemen. I like living a life that confuses people who don't like me. I don't know why. I don't like to be bitter at people who don't like me. I just like to prove them wrong all the time. I really enjoy that. I believe the best revenge is a life well lived. I like living life without constriction. I like living life without limitations. How about you? I like living the prosperous life. And as we've talked about, real prosperity is the ability to make good decisions. The freedom to make good decisions. That's what prosperity is. Prosperity is not a lot of money in the bank, because there's a lot of people with money in the bank who aren't prospering in their soul. So they're not living a prosperous life. They're living a life with a lot of money. There's people who have all the natural abilities in the world, but they're not prospering because their soul is not prospering. There's people who are very free in their soul, but can't make good decisions because they're flat broke. That's not living a prosperous life. There's people who have a prosperous soul, but their body is not prospering, and through affliction or misfortune or genetics, they're limited somehow, and that is not a fully prosperous life. And I believe God wants us to prosper in our soul, in our spirit, and in our body. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. What I'm not saying is that if you are limited somehow, you're doing something wrong, right? It's not some sort of judgment against you if you're not rich. It's not some sort of judgment against you if you're struggling with some sort of physical affliction. It's not a judgment against you if you're dealing with anxiety or depression or self-hatred or any other thing that can afflict your soul, right? What we want to do is we want to learn the full counsel of God. We want to learn all the truth. We want to hold our lives against the light of the truth and say, where am I not matching up? And instead of protecting ourselves by saying, you know, well, God must have made me this way, we want to look and say, you know, it hurts for me to hope, but I'm just going to keep hoping that this area will change. Amen? That's living in the light. That's living in the light, and that's what we want. We want to live in the light. We want to live in truth because Jesus is the truth. We want to live in truth. We don't want to hide in darkness in any area of our lives. Amen? Yeah, you're with me. Are we on the same team? We love truth. We're all on the same team. We love truth, all right? Now, often when you hear that in church, all of a sudden they're like, all right, well, if you love truth, I'm going to insult you now, and you have to love it. That's not what's coming next, all right? You can relax, stay loose. You're going to be encouraged today, amen? You're going to be encouraged. I believe Jesus is an encourager. I've never heard a discouraging word from Jesus in my life, amen? I've never heard something from Jesus and then said, well, why even try? Oh, well, I'm doomed. He's never spoken to me that way. How about you? He's an encourager, yeah? So in this scripture in Matthew chapter 10, he invites us into the impossible. And I love that. How many of you love this scripture? I've preached it so many times. I love it. I love it. I want it to be my whole life. How about you? Now, if you were guaranteed success, how many of you would love to do this stuff? I would love to go to a funeral and be like, you know what? I don't have time for this. Let's just raise the dead. I'd like the family to come to me and say, you know, Pastor, do you have any benevolence? Because, you know, my uncle passed and we don't have money for a casket. Like, we don't have uncle casket money. I guess I'll just raise him from the dead. I'd like that. I don't know about you. I'd like that. You know, heal the sick, cleanse lepers, and that's all skin ailments, you know. I'm with that. I'm with that. Now, when you take this scripture by itself, it's scary, though. Because he tells you, go do what you can't do. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Wait. If I can't do it, how do I do it? Just go do it. Okay, how's that work? I need you to. And so what I want to do today is I want to talk a little bit about how Jesus was able to command you to do the impossible by setting up a real framework in Scripture here that led to this message. Now hear me. A lot of times we preach this as it's a standalone instruction, as if it says, you know, go wait in line over here. Okay, I'll wait in line. Or I need you to turn again. Okay, well, I can turn again. And we just look at this command to go heal the sick. We take it out of the rest of the scriptures, and then we say, well, I have to go walk in this power, and I better figure out how to walk in power so I can go do the things that Jesus told me to do. And so we start learning different teachings, or we learn different spiritual truths, or we start memorizing scripture, or we start experimenting on people, or we start doing all kinds of stuff so that we can do supernatural things, maybe out of obedience, maybe out of pride, maybe out of fear that if we don't measure up as a Christian. But I want to make it really easy to obey Jesus in the scripture, okay? So we're going to take a little walk through the scripture here, and we're going to kind of see what leads up to this verse. Does that make sense? You with me here, right? Okay. Now, if God tells you to do something, let me say it another way. I came upon something when I was in Nicaragua. I was having devotions with Emmanuel. Emmanuel, you here today? Where's Emmanuel at? What's up, Emmanuel? My Nicaraguan interpreter back there, who's not actually Nicaraguan and not really an interpreter, but he's back in the tech team today. We were in devotions one morning, just he and I, and my ukulele, worshiping in Nicaragua. And we were reading and whatnot, and I just came upon something that really stirred my heart, and the Lord breathed on it. Now, Jesus, I want to get to a place in my relationship with God that whatever he tells me to do, I don't wonder whether or not I can do it. I want to get to the place that I say, I'm going to go do what you told me to do because I know you'll empower me to do it. And I'm not waiting to be empowered to go do it. When you tell me to do it, I'm going to go do it because your word will empower me to do it. Does that make sense? He won't tell you to do something you can't do. I've never told my kids one time, you know, hey, go get a career that you can support a family with. Why? Because he's 14. I never said to my 11-year-old daughter, hey, I need you to raise your kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Get it done. Because she's 11, right? She don't need that instruction right now. But when the Lord speaks you to go do something, at that time, you have the ability to do it. Right? So let's go back a little bit. If we look at our scriptures, before we get there, before we get to Matthew 10:5, he says, you know, he sends them out. But before that, if we go to the beginning of the scripture at Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, it said, he summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. I have found that Jesus will anoint you, but he anoints you once you understand purpose. You see, these disciples, he gave them all kind of authority, but if you recognize, we're 10 chapters into Matthew here. But we're good. Imagine what would have happened if they did not come under the lordship of Jesus Christ first, and then he gave them power. We know where their heart was. Their heart wasn't right. And many times we want God to bring a breakthrough in our finances. We want him to bring a breakthrough in relationship. We want him to bring a breakthrough in our church life or in different areas of our life. We want this breakthrough. But the restriction is not God's desire. It's the wineskin that we have to hold it. You understand that? God creates, he commands us to create the wineskin that's going to hold the new anointing in our life. And so at this point, we see Jesus gave them an anointing. He filled their wineskin with something new. And then he said, listen, I just gave you a download of new wine. I need you to go out and give it away. And so often we spend our whole lives, you know, praying for the breakthrough, or if I could use another term, praying for new wine without a new wineskin to put it in. And Jesus said, I can't give you new wine because you're going to destroy your old wineskin. And I'd rather you limp along spiritually than have you blow up and die. Does that make sense? If you're called to the nations, I say, bless the Lord, praise God, the nations are calling. But if you can't successfully lead a small group, let me say it another way. If you're not willing to try to figure out how to lead a small group, you're probably not going to graduate to a large group. And he's not going to trust you with the masses. We can look past our now to the call and never be equipped for the call because we haven't worked on the wineskin now. God will give you your wineskin for the ultimate call now, but it's in seed form. And he says, how will you handle the seed form wineskin now when it doesn't look like nations? It looks like, you know, two guys who show up to your life group late, and the one person who doesn't bring their Bible, another one wants to talk about another church that they visit midweek while you're trying to, you know, run a little life group here, and one person who thinks they're a prophet, and you're trying to wrangle all this together, and you're like, well, this isn't the nations. Let me just move on from this. And God's like, no, this is forming your wineskin. This is forming your wineskin. I don't know what you're going through right now, but I know that the Lord Jesus Christ is King of the earth. And we talked about this before service when we were doing our pre-service, our call to worship, that if he's the Lord of your life, he's the King of every situation that you're in. And he's got you in this struggle for a reason. Okay. All right, let me try this another way. Get a little energy. Do you remember the scripture of the blind guy who got healed, right? And all they wanted to talk about was why he was blind. They want to talk about why he's blind. Why is he blind? Is it his sin? Is it his parents' sin? Is it... Jesus is like, what's that matter? Let's just say it's for the glory of God. They're like, oh, so my sickness is for God's glory. No, your healing. Your healing. Now, also, how you deal with struggle could be for God's glory. That's why we don't want parenting advice from people without kids. Now, if you don't have kids and you're the foremost expert on child rearing, that's awesome. That's really great. And I hope you're able to teach somebody. But not me. Because I want to hear from people who got victory in that. I want to hear how you form the wineskin of being a good parent in the midst of the struggle. Do you hear what I'm saying? I remember early when I was in ministry, I was in youth ministry. And I had two small children in elementary school. And I was just trying to figure that out. You hear what I'm saying? And parents would come to me and they'd say, you know, my son just turned 14 and he's going through puberty and he's acting like this. You know, what do I do? And I say, oh, I never raised a 14-year-old. I don't have any idea what you're supposed to do. Don't sin. Find somebody who has kids you like and ask them. Right? They may be saved, may not be saved. Ask them, though. Because they have struggled and they've put in the work to form that wineskin. That's a wineskin I can learn from. I want a wineskin like that wineskin. We spend too much time trying to get the anointing that somebody else has. See, now God is he's a master builder, amen? And he really knows what he's doing. And how many of you know that when he's filling wineskins, he always puts the right wine in the right wineskin? He never puts pickles in a mustard jar. He doesn't put olives in an applesauce jar, right? He knows what he's building. And if you build a wineskin for the anointing, he's going to fill it with the anointing. When you build a wineskin for comfort, he doesn't fill that with the anointing. That makes sense. So often we try to figure out how to get the anointing that somebody else has. And what we really need to do is figure out how they built the wineskin that they have. Right? My wife and I were just absolutely blessed to have the Arnotts over our home. I wish it was because we're awesome. It's just because their hotel wasn't ready. Right? And they had to stay somewhere. And they're in my car. They're going to be in my house. Right? And so we're sitting around my dining room table. It's my wife and I and the Arnotts and the Slades were over. And I just began asking them, how did you deal with this situation? When you were going through this, what do you wish you had done differently? How did you react when this came out? What do I look for when this happens? Listen, I'm not trying to ask him to give me the anointing that's on his life. Yeah. Right? I trust that if I will make good decisions, God will anoint me for what I'm called to do. If he sends me out to do something, he's going to empower me to do it. What I got to do is I got to get the right wineskin for him to fill to do what I'm called to do. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen and amen. I don't know if the air is off or I'm just hot. The only way it could get hotter in here is if I release my mixtape because it's fire. But it's warm. Anyway. Oh, Jesus. All right, let's take a look at the scripture here. We're going to go back a little bit, okay? I love the verse where Jesus says, oh, Jesus, help me, Lord. It's fire. Get my mixtape. Okay, so I love the part where he says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, right? I love that. How many know you can't do that unless you get the Matthew 10:1, he anointed them to do it. Some people say just because the Bible said to do it, you could do it. Well, that's great. Well, why don't you go ahead and teleport like homie Philip did. All right, the Bible says it. Why are you driving anywhere? You owning a car is a lack of faith, right? Because he just got teleported where Jesus needed him. No, because that's stupid, right? Okay, so you're called to do something. Let's get anointed to do it, right? But even before that, let's just go back and let's just see what foundation. You see this word, go heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. It's built on a foundation of some other teachings of Jesus. All right? It's not sitting out there on its own, just go do it. Oh, okay. Well, I'll just go. Let's get a good foundation here, shall we? Okay. So we talked about in 10:1, it says he anointed them to do that. He called them to him and he anointed them. People want to be anointed without being called to Jesus. That's another teaching. We'll get back to that some other time. Let's go back a little bit to Matthew chapter 9. Let's go back a little bit more, verse 35, right? It says, Jesus, who's kind of the central character of this whole thing, right? Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. He's proclaiming what? The good news of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. We need preaching, we need healing, right? Verse 36, you ready? Seeing the people, he felt, what's that word? Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, to who? The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Therefore, beseech or ask or pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Now, why did he want workers in the harvest? Because he had compassion on them. Why did he have compassion on them? Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, God wants you to heal the sick, wants you to raise the dead, wants you to cast out demons. Why? He wants you to show the people that the kingdom is here. Why? Because they're sheep without a shepherd. He's looking for people who will be involved in other people's lives. Not a one and done, not a let me go get my healing mixtape on the street, but doing videos, I put it on YouTube, and I talk about the healing revival in Boca. That's not what he's looking for. I have some pet peeves, and I know my heart needs to be healed. I know that I'm not fully walking in compassion in every area of my life. I get this. But I have things in my life that irritate me, and I have the microphones. I'm going to talk about one of them now. It grieves my spirit when people boast, exaggerate, try to get fame for what God does when they pray. It grieves my spirit when somebody gets healed, which is supposed to be the work of the kingdom, and we call it the outpouring or the revival or, God forbid, the awakening. I saw a video one time, and there was a guy in Vegas. Oh, this is just bad. Just pray for a pastor, right? Guy in Vegas healed somebody whose ankle hurt. Title of the video, Las Vegas Outpouring. That's an outpouring. Then what do we have to hope for? Why do you need a video for that? Now listen, if you feel like you're called to teach people healing, hey, go run with it. But if you feel like you need to do stuff so that you can look like you're something, you've kind of missed the whole point of what Jesus was talking about here. You've missed the whole point of what this entire passage is about. This passage isn't about go show people how amazing you are. This passage is about there's people who are alone. They're on their own. They're completely isolated. They don't have anybody in their lives to care about them. And you know what I want? I want you to pray. Pray that God would send somebody out to them. And if I'm going to send somebody, it might as well be somebody who understands there's no lack in the kingdom. And when you see the people with no lack in the kingdom, who don't know there's no lack in the kingdom, I want you to give them what they don't have. And since I'm sending you out to sheep without a shepherd, guess what? I need you to shepherd them. It would be a very bad shepherd who goes out and just looks for random sheep. Oh, look at this one. He's caught in a tree. He's not in the tree anymore. I'm going to go home. That's not a good shepherd. I don't think that's what Jesus is praying. I don't think that's what he's telling us to pray. Oh, let's see. They're bound in this constriction, and they can't get free. Wow, because they don't know any better. I know. Let me take a video of me getting them free, and then I go back home and post it on YouTube. Like, I don't think that's what it's about. Now, we take videos and we put them online. People get healed here all the time. We put videos online to show that Jesus still heals, to provoke faith. I'm not against that. Don't get me wrong. Talking about the heart. If your heart is to look famous, you've got problems. We have got problems, and the church has got to get back to the whole point that Jesus gave us miraculous power. He gave us miraculous power because he wants us to demonstrate to a world that does not know there is a kingdom that's present, that has no lack. He wants us to show them, listen, you don't have to do life alone. You don't have to do life alone. Come into the family of God. Come into the kingdom of God. Come, because there's shepherds, there's friends, there's people who will help you get free, right? Are you with me? Are you with me? So he says here in this verse, he says, you know, he felt compassion on them. He said to his disciples, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth workers. We know that they prayed that. Why do we know? Because in the next verse, he sends them. Let me gently tell you something. Let me just provoke something possibly a little bit. What don't you like in the world? That could be the very thing God is sending you into. That is the draw. What weighs on your heart? What are you like? You just look at it and you're like, this is not justice. This is not right. This is just, God is not calling you to complain about it. He's probably calling you to do something. He's like, why don't you pray that the Lord would send somebody to fix that thing that's irritating you? You're like, okay, Lord, send somebody to fix that. He's like, excellent, go. Whoa. You're praying, Jesus, this is not right. They ought, and as you're praying about it, he's giving you ideas on how it could change. You're like, yeah, somebody should do this, and they should reach out to that, and here's how they should do it. And I know specifically what he's like. That's right. Keep going. Keep praying. Now go do it. The trap of some people in the prayer movement today is that they feel like the job ends at praying. Nowhere in Scripture does it say pray and do nothing. It's just not in there. Pray and go. Pray and go. Pray and go. Pray and go. Lots of people get that. Other people don't. Prayer is not a reason not to go. Now hear me. Some of you may pray more. Some may go more. Again, let's not, you know, hear what I'm not saying. Some pray more, some go more. I get it. Some people pray for those who go more. But we all pray and we all go. And generally the thing you're praying into, you're going to go. You with me? Are we together here? Okay, not throwing stones at anybody. God has given me vision for what's happening right here. I'm not in charge of anybody else, all right? So don't hear me judging anybody. That's not what I'm doing. Okay, so are you still with me? I got one more little point here, and then I'm fairly done. Thanks, honey. Okay, so Jesus says he saw the hurting, and he had compassion on them, and he told his disciples to pray that somebody would go to them, yeah? But where did that come from? Let's back up a little bit more, Matthew chapter 9, verse 10. Don't you love the Word of God? Okay, so Jesus, you remember him, the central character in the story again. Jesus most didn't know that he was the Savior yet. They didn't know he was the Messiah. They didn't know he was God. They just thought he was a rabbi and possibly a prophet, right? Teacher, maybe a prophet. Some people didn't believe he was a prophet. Some people did. But here he is. He's hanging out with people that prophets don't hang out with. And people that rabbis teach against, at least publicly, right? They're getting their power from somebody, right? So Matthew chapter 9, verse 10, it says, "Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table," this is kind of how they ate and kind of kicked back, right? They like didn't have chairs or kind of sitting near a low table. They called it reclining at table. As Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. Now, that was not good, because in those days, you just don't hang out with those people. Because who you hang out with defines who you are, right? And we believe, you know, show me your friends and I'll show you you, right? Well, I believe that. But Jesus clearly was not there looking for friends. He wasn't there looking for friends, right? He was on a ministry assignment. Verse 11, "When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, 'Why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners?' But when Jesus heard this, he said, 'It's not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick.'" Verse 13, "But go and learn what this means." He's talking to the Pharisees now. "Go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice. I didn't come to call the righteous, but the sinners." I want you to hear this phrase. I want it burned in your spirit. God desires compassion and not sacrifice. When I hear people say that I can't be friends with you because of what the Bible says, I say, you haven't read this book. When they say, but man, we were getting along good, but then I heard you did that, and the Bible says not to do this, so I can't hang out with you. I'm like, you don't know. The Bible was never intended to be a weapon against people. The Bible was never, ever intended to be a weapon against people. Ever. Well, I'd want to be with you. I think we could be friends, but the Bible said I can't. So it's not me, it's the Bible. No, it's really not. Because their scriptures support anything you want to do in the Bible. Well, I'm supposed to be a polygamist because the Bible says he had lots of wives. You can prove whatever you want, right? However you look at it is what you're going to learn in the Bible. Jesus said, "I desire compassion and not sacrifice." When you say, "Well, I can't go do that because the Bible says," God's like, that's not the point of the Scripture. The point of the Scripture is not to set up some rules that you're like, "Well, I don't know how to follow God, but here's God's manual for living, and the manual for living says I have to go this way," and so that is not the point. Jesus said, "I desire compassion and not sacrifice." Listen, he says, I don't want you to follow me out of compulsion. I don't want you to follow me out of rules. I don't want you to go and heal the sick because that's how we show the devil we're in charge. We don't go heal the sick because, you know, God's word says he gave us authority, and by the authority of God, I'm going to go and heal the, I'm going to, no, that's not the point of the Scripture. He's like, listen, hear me. When you get the compassion of Jesus, when you're able to see the lost the way Jesus sees them, when you're able to see the world the way God sees the world, that he loved it so much that he sent his son to die for it. When your heart is moved with love, when your heart is moved You say, man, these are children of God, and they're lost. They were created in God's image. See, even before salvation, we were all created in His image. The Bible says even before we're saved, we're all children of God. Some are very, very lost and going to a sinner's hell. Now listen, we have to look and say, listen, these are God's children. He's not calling me to judge them. Man, my heart is moved with compassion because they're like sheep without a shepherd. Look, God has an amazing plan for this world and for these people, and yet here they are getting caught in bushes and don't know where the water is, don't know where the green grass is, and they're starving out here in a desert with no one to show them where life is. And when you're moved with compassion, you'll find yourself going places that religion tells you you're not allowed to go. You'll be eating dinner in people's living rooms that you never thought that you'd be having dinner with them. You'll go out and you'll start saying things that you're like, did I just say that? Well, I believe God wants to heal your sickness. Whoa, who said that? God has something better for you. God wants to, and so He says, man, they're like sheep without a shepherd. Man, this is moving my heart, Jesus says. This hurts me, and they're all worried about who we're supposed to be around and who we're not supposed to be around. It's like, wow, I want you to just be moved with compassion for hurting people. Don't worry about yourself. Worry about the hurting people. And if you get that, if you understand how much I love these people, I want you to pray that I will send somebody to go reach them. And as you pray, God, there's some hurting people in India. There's some hurting people in Africa. There's some hurting people in Boca, would you help them, Lord? Would you send somebody to help them? He says, yeah, then I'll send some people. I'll give them the anointing. And they'll want to help people so badly that I'll give them anointing to help. And then I'll tell them how to help. Gosh, Father, they're broken. They're desperate. The problem with Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 through 10, taken out of context is, you might think the only thing you're called to do is heal the sick, cleanse a leper, raise the dead, and cast out devils. You might think that if you could do that, you got it all, but you don't. You get a people that's hurting, and God says, yeah, here, I've created your heart for them. I'm going to put an anointing on you, and I'm going to change the economic system of that area. Or I'm going to repair families in that area through the anointing on your life. I'm going to give you an anointing to father. And I'm going to send you to an area in a language you don't even know. And you're going to establish kingdom families. You see, what we're called to do is so much bigger than this little verse right here. There's no way it's contained in that verse. There's no way it's contained in that verse. And we're trying to act like that's the high water mark. If I can do that, I got to know. That's what those people needed. That's what those people in that area needed to demonstrate that the kingdom is nearby. But what happens if you get your heart destroyed for the caste system in India? What if your heart is broken that there's people who are born to be slaves their entire life? And then the Lord says, why don't you go there and why don't you just, I'll give you anointing to destroy that system by demonstrating there's a greater kingdom than that caste system. And whoever gets into this kingdom bypasses the caste system. What happens if you get brokenhearted for a neighborhood in Boca, Delray, Deerfield, a middle school that has no fathers, or an investment firm that just has no morality? What happens if he breaks your heart for businessmen who think they're going to be completed by having more money, or who knows what he could do? Single moms who don't know how to rely on God for finances. What happens if he breaks your heart for that? What would he anoint you to do? You see, when you're stuck in the trap of sacrifice, well, it's not about me, it's about God. And, you know, I want to do that, but I can't because God has called me to be a Christian. So we can't go over my sister's house because she lives with her boyfriend. And, you know, the Bible says I can't be around that. So I got to sacrifice my family to, what? Wow. I'm convicted myself. There's things that I have sanctified my family from. And now I wonder, man, if I'd have been a man of more faith, how could I have changed that system instead of avoided it? All right? I got to believe if I'm in this system, it's going to be different. I'm not going to be conformed to it. I'm going to change it. God is looking for a heart that's yearning for the hurting. The point of Christianity is not to make yourself perfect. The point is to help people. The way we do that is receive Christ as Savior and then spread His kingdom. To let other people know that, hey, His kingdom is here. And natural laws no longer dictate your future. Are you with me? Okay, I went a little longer. I'm almost done. How do you know when people aren't getting this? Because they're more concerned about protecting themselves than they are about helping people. When people are worried about the cooties of the enemy, oh, I got to disconnect from them because I might get the cooties. Well, that's funny because I have power over the cooties. Jesus defeated them on the cross after the Father defeated them in heaven, and He gave me keys. Sorry that you feel like they have power over you, but they don't have power over me. See, I'm moved by compassion, not sacrifice. Three quick points. You ready? This is how we're going to move into this. You ready? Write these down very quickly. Number one, begin to pray this over yourself, that you would see the world through the eyes of Jesus. I dare you to start praying, Lord, help me to love like Jesus does. Help me to love like Jesus. Help me to love like Jesus. Next thing you know, the person you got beef with, they're going to walk in the room and you're not going to want to run away. You're going to be drawn toward them. You're going to be like, that's weird. That thing isn't here anymore. I actually am ready to go talk to them and build bridges. Jesus said in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that they laid down His life for His friends. You see, when you see things through the eyes of Jesus, you don't live life trying to protect yourself. You don't cut people off to keep yourself protected. You run toward them. And you say, man, they're hurting. I got what they need. Self-preservation is no longer okay. Number two, you ready? These three quick points. I'm running through it, and then we're going to finish. Mikey, come on up. Number two, you ready for this one? Speak life over every situation. When you're thinking unclean thoughts about people and about things, judgment, bitterness, good God, can I just give you one simple thing that's going to help your life get better? Don't entertain gossip. Good God, it's like someone serving you poison. Hey, would you like a little bit of arsenic? Okay. Don't do it. Don't do it. What if it's true? Doesn't matter. Don't do it. Don't do it. Speak life. Speak life. I have an amazing testimony I'm going to share very soon. When God revealed something very negative to me, and I just decided in every situation I was going to speak positive over it. Woo! Keyboard's on. How do you know if you're operating under grace instead of the law? You're able to speak good things about things you don't like. Your enemy is still God's child. And not for nothing, you don't have enemies that are people. When people portray other people to you as enemies, they don't understand what this whole kingdom thing is. We're all on the same team. Yeah, that's the keyboard. I'll mute him. All right, speak life. Hey, Proverbs 15, verse 4. Oh, just jot this down. It says, a soothing tongue is a tree of life. People who operate in grace make things better. When people want to provoke people's, you know, discomfort, like, oh, man, I'm upset about, she said this, and I feel upset. Oh, wait till, what else you hear she said? That's not a soothing tongue. That's not a tree of life. Anyway, number three. You ready? We're going to finish with this. Be led by compassion. Be led by compassion. Allow the Lord to work in your heart that you'll care about the less fortunate. Let God break your heart for the hurting. Be led. Be drawn into situations. Allow your heart to draw you into situations that you have no way to fix. The goal is to get in so deep God has to show up. The goal is to get so deep that God has to show up. Like, Lord, these people are hurting, I got no money. I got no knowledge. I have no natural ability to help. But I care about them a lot. And so I need you to come through with a miracle. Can you turn on this monitor a little bit? I can't even hear myself. I'm getting blasted. Hear me. This Christian life is not about you. It's not about you. It's not about protecting you. If your life is about protecting yourself, you've been lied to. So let's stand. Father, 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 we love you. Father, we love you. We love you, Lord. Here's what I want you to do. We're just going to pray very quickly, and then we're going to go. Plenty of time to get the fried chicken after church today. Listen, I feel so strongly. I feel so strongly the Lord wants to do so many miracles through the people of this house. And I believe that there's an anointing that's coming on certain people's lives. That God is meeting your natural with supernatural. I feel it. I'll just tell you what I see. I saw people singing songs. I saw someone standing in a retirement home, singing over people and healing falling on them. I say retirement home, but it was elderly. I just saw a lot of elderly in a room in wheelchairs with affliction. I guessed retirement home. The Lord didn't say retirement home. But I see them beginning to just see these are sheep without a shepherd. These are people who've been abandoned. And I see them just beginning to sing over them and sing songs as if they're leading them in worship. And the people just sitting there, unable to respond. And I see the anointing falling on them as you're moved with compassion. And I see healing coming to bodies through it. This is the kind of thing I believe the Lord wants to do through people in this house. It starts with compassion, though. So put your hand on your heart and just begin to pray. Lord, just I want to see the world through your eyes. Listen, we got an Easter service coming in a couple weeks. Some of you, you're gonna kind of get the ball rolling in your ability to reach out to people just by inviting them to church. It's an easy one. And the more you're able just to invite people to church, the more you're able to take the next step the next time. And then another person you meet, and you may release healing. Another person you meet, you may prophesy. The next person, you're drawn into their situation, and you see. But whatever it takes, just put your hand in your heart. Jesus, show me the people you want to touch. Take me outside my comfort. Free me of my self-preservation. I want to spread your kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just going to let the Spirit move one more minute here. I just feel like He's doing something in hearts right now. He's even showing some people some things. He's giving you a mission field right now. It's very rare that you'll be a missionary to foreign lands if you won't be a missionary right here. Jesus, He's showing people things right now. Could be in India, could be Pakistan, could be Africa, could be Boca, could be FAU, could be Publix. Consume my heart, Jesus. Take my heart, God, and use it as your own. I want to carry your kingdom to the world. If I can have my ministry team directors come quickly forward. Listen, there's people in this room right now that you're away from God. You're away from God, and it's time to come home. You're like sheep without a shepherd, and God brought you here today for a reason. He has a house for you, has a family. Maybe you've been disconnected. Maybe you've been disconnected for a while. Maybe you got hurt. Maybe you got drawn away by the drama that happens in church. Maybe somebody lied to you. Maybe somebody told you the truth and you didn't know how to handle it. But today's a day. Amen? Today's a day. Amen? Today's a day. And I don't want to do a big emotional plea. I just want to invite you. If that's you today, I just feel the anointing is falling on somebody right now. And the Lord says, today's the day. I want to invite you just to come forward right now and just receive some prayer. Who is that? Come on forward. Don't wait. Don't wait. Come on forward. Today's the day. Today's the day you're going to make it right with God. Today's the day the healing is going to begin in your life. It's time to be bold.